Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got our good buddy Brad Huskin back on the show. Huskin, H-U-I-S-K-E-N, if you're Googling him, which I know many of you will. And Brad is one of our longtime members of our Brain Trust, going all the way back to almost year one. Well, actually, within the first 12 months that we were on the show. That makes him an original member of the Brain Trust. He's the author of many books, including I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and also Munchies for Salespeople. And he's one of the guys we turn to when we want to make sure that we take care of our customers. Brad Huskin, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
And happy Customer Service Week.
It is Customer Service Week, isn't it?
It is.
And every week is Customer Service Week.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. It is. It should be every minute, every tick of the clock should be Customer Service Second, shouldn't it?
You know what? They're the only reason that businesses exist.
Yeah.
It's customers.
But isn't it incredible when you walk in a store and they don't get that?
It's amazing to me. I think that the customer service has gotten so bad that in most places we've trained our people to expect lousy customer service.
And so, you know, I was teasing a friend of mine. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, isn't it a shame that everybody else is not as perfect as you and I are?
It really is.
And you know what he said? He said, but then we wouldn't have an advantage.
Oh, that's true. That's pretty heavy thinking.
Yeah. So I said, well, I see what you mean. And so my point is people who actually do practice good customer care have an advantage, don't they?
Absolutely, they do. They're one up on everybody else because everybody else is just meandering along, so to speak, and not okay anymore.
I made a comment earlier that I differentiated something earlier that I wanted to, in the hour, I wanted to ask you about. I said, my good friend Joanna Brandy says we should say customer care, not customer service. And the point she makes is customer service is what you do when people bring things back or when they're unhappy about something. Customer care is when you're loving them up. And I think that's a good distinction, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I've never thought of that before, but yeah, I like customer care.
Customer care is what you do when everybody's happy, they're coming in, and I think it's important as we train people to differentiate between that because they're two different behaviors. When I actually said earlier, Brad, that it may be harder to perform customer care than customer service because if everybody's happy, you got to try to make them happier.
Exactly.
But if they're unhappy, you can make them happy. That's easier, right?
Yep, and you were spot on earlier when you said, no matter what it takes, just make them happy, because it's too gosh darned expensive to try to get a new customer in when you could save that one that you had just by taking care of them.
Bob Nagin said it last hour. He said, when you're trying to wonder how far should you go with the customer, remember to tell yourself this transaction is not as valuable as the relationship.
Absolutely.
That's pretty 1,000%. Good. We need to write that down, don't we?
Yep, I wrote it down. I've got that note. I stole it. Now it's mine.
Well, send me the royalty, and I'll send Bob his half.
Okay, you got it.
We'll split it three ways. So, what have you been working on lately?
Well, I want to discuss a little bit what I call non-negotiable sales and customer service standards.
Okay.
And I think that every organization has to have some type of a non-negotiable sales and customer service program in place in order to ensure customer service, customer care, whatever you want to call it today. I mean, it's like you go to a Ritz-Carlton, and I don't know if you realize it or not, but the employees of a Ritz-Carlton are not allowed to say the word yes.
Really?
They must say the word certainly.
I like that.
Which adds so much more flavor to it, doesn't it?
I like that.
Yeah. So I think that when it comes to non-negotiable things, that we need to come up with a list of things that we would be willing to write people up for not abiding by, and eventually terminate them if they don't live up to our high expectations.
Can I give you another one?
Absolutely.
And this is my audience. They're rolling their eyes right now, Brad, because they know what I'm going to say, because I've been on my high horse, as my grandmother would say. I've been on my high horse about this for a long time now. No problem. See, I think the first, well, I was gonna go over the top there, but no problem to me. If you can't stop somebody from saying no problem, that's firing offense.
Absolutely, yeah. It's one of my pet peeves, the no problem, and to tell you the truth, and let me be honest with you, and you know those kinds of things that just drive me wacky.
Hold on to that thought. I'm gonna be honest with you, Brad. I got to take a break here,
okay.
but it won't be a problem. We're gonna take a quick break. Brad Huskin and I will be right back, folks. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Brad Huskin. 20 Tales, stay with us.
When I was a young boy, to put away those young boy ways. Now that I'm...
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. We got lots of stuff there that will help you. You can listen, read, ask questions. Check out my blog. Subscribe to my newsletter. Check out our Brain Trust members. 1,500 plus members of our Brain Trust, the largest community of small business experts on the planet, of which Brad Huskin is, we're very happy to say, is an original member of that community. And by the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Brad is, as I say, is the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and also Munchies for Salespeople. We're talking about taking care of our customers, loving up our customers. Right, Brad?
Absolutely. You got to love them, because the only reason that we're around is...
And you're saying that you have a list of things, what'd you call them, non-negotiable things?
Non-negotiable sales and customer service standards.
Yeah.
And I think that companies need to implore both of those into their organizations. For example, I'm getting so sick and tired of people not trying to close the deal.
Yeah.
I think it has to be a non-negotiable standard that once merchandise or services have been explained, they have to try to close the sale.
Do you think it's because closing is not something that comes natural to a lot of people? You and I are a couple of roughneck, knucklehead market grizzlies, you know, marketplace grizzlies. That comes natural to us, but a lot of people, especially these younger kids, they've never been exposed to closing. And there's an art to closing, isn't there?
Well, there really is, and there's an art to the whole process of sales. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't want to close another sale. I just want customers to say, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But by golly, if that doesn't happen, we better try to close the sale.
That's right. That's right.
We're not grocery stores. The only reason... grocery stores don't have salespeople because they don't need them.
That's right.
I've never negotiated the price on a can of chili beans. Have you?
No.
No.
I've negotiated hamburgers before, but you know, I remember when I went to work for Xerox, I was already well into I was probably almost 10 years into a selling career. And we were talking, and I was working with some, I was being trained with some people who were pretty new to the process. And so we were talking about selling, I mean about closing. We were going through the closing steps. Mm-hmm. And we had been taught, there was a list of about 10 or 12, you know what they are, and we were going through them. And so after a week or so, the trainer said, went around the table and said, how many closes do you have? And this person said two, and this person said three, and this person said four of the 12 or so that we had learned. Mm-hmm. And they came to me and they said, how many do you have, Jim? And I said, I don't know. And he said, that's the right answer. Because you don't really think about, okay, I need to use this close or that close. It's a state of mind, isn't it? ABC.
Exactly.
Always be closing.
Yep, great salespeople are great chameleons, and they adjust the presentation to the needs of the customers, and then you're always closing.
One of the most liberating things to me from a closing standpoint that really helped me to understand more about closing was when I was taught that every close doesn't have to be for the sale. A close could just be for agreement.
Absolutely.
Right?
There's little mini trial clauses all along the way.
All along the way. Yeah. And when you learn that, the big one at the end is easy, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. Because they're just bobbing their head up and down agreeing with you about how great this particular product or service is. It's just a natural transition of things. But, you know, going back to what we were talking about, I think that we have to instill these non-negotiable things into our businesses. And, you know, we started to talk about the way customers are the last impression on a customer's head when they leave a organization shouldn't be not a problem, or your receipt's in the bag, or
right.
Here to go, or, you know, any of those.
Or your change hitting you in the back as you walk out.
Exactly. I mean, they better feel like a confetti cannon just went off in their head that you're so gosh darn appreciative that they came in the place.
That's exactly right. But you know, you were saying it bothers you when people don't close. But I think that that's not their fault, Brad. It's the company's fault, and that's what you do. I know you help them figure that out. But back to the non-negotiable thing. Aren't you saying that this is something that you instill in your company so deeply that they do, that the employees do it to each other? I mean, they actually call each other out when they see an infraction.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's got to get to that level where everybody is checking to make sure everybody else is complying with these non-negotiable things. I joke around, what would happen to your FedEx guy if he showed up in brown shoes, brown shorts, and brown shirt tomorrow?
Yeah, it wouldn't be
he
good.
He wouldn't be your FedEx guy.
No, not very long.
So, same types of things that we need to instill in our organizations.
You know, I remember my mother. My mother was an operator back in the 50s for Illinois Bell, and she used to come home and tell me about the way that they worked with each other. They would actually sort of listen in on each other's treatment. You know, that's back when operators actually talked to people, you know, gave them their numbers, and she said they would actually, you know, do a little critique of each other, and it would grow that way.
Well, that's the type of organization you want, is the one where it has such high standards that the employees are making the other employees live up to those expectations.
Yeah.
Then everybody grows and gets
Boy, when that happens, get out of the way and wait for it, because the money's going to come rolling in.
Absolutely it is.
Be careful, because, I mean, you know, you're going to get knocked over by the money.
And then you'll get your stimulus check.
I knew you were going to work politics into this somehow. Hey, Brad, give us that website, please.
It's www.iastraining.com.
Iastraining.com. That's where you can find
it. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook and all those things.
Ooh, what is your Twitter account? What's your Twitter address?
Just Brad Huskin.
Brad Huskin, Huskin is the last name. You can find his books there at IAS Training. You can also subscribe to his newsletter. I'm a happy recipient of his outstanding e-newsletter. Tintel, I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's Robert Cray to take us out.
At least the mystery is gone. Only you can to make all this world seem right.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. We're having a great visit with our good friend Brad Huskin. Happy Customer Service Week, folks. Happy Customer Care Week. We talked about that earlier. You actually do both of those. Customer care is when everybody's happy. Customer service is what you do when you're taking care of people who aren't happy. And it's your job to make them happy. And as we talked earlier, Brad, we talked about the fact that whenever you're wondering, you know, can't you just see people who are working in the business, maybe the owners even, and they're so worried that it's going to cost them an extra $5 to make this customer happy? Or, you know, I mean, how far could you have to go? I mean, I know there's some things that can get expensive. And some customers are, you know, totally irrational. But 99% of the time, you can actually apply the concept of this transaction is not as valuable as the relationship.
Well, that's exactly right. And usually I find that if we just ask the customer what we can do that make this right for you, as you had mentioned,
mm-hmm.
that usually what they expect is less than we thought we had to get.
Wouldn't life be so much simpler? You know, my wife tells me that life would be so much simpler if I would just ask her what she wants and then do that.
Exactly.
Wouldn't life also be so much simpler if we just asked customers what they wanted and do that?
Absolutely. And, you know, if you do have to go a little bit over what you normally would, just write it off to your advertising budget.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, plus the fact that you just created an advocate. You just created a cheerleader for yourself.
They will become the biggest advocate for you in the planet if you treat them right.
Can you believe what they did? I had this thing, it broke, and I went back, and I thought that they were going to give me grief. You know what they did? They gave me another one. No questions asked.
Wow.
That's the kind of thing people remember that, don't they?
Yeah, and they tell other people about it.
And you know what else? Today, in today's world, they put it on the internet.
Yes.
And that other thing, if they're not happy, they put that on there too.
They do. And, the latest stats I've read is if you upset one customer, they'll go out and tell at least 200 directly or indirectly.
Right.
Two.
And on the internet, that could go viral.
It could go viral.
Or they could make a video, and they could make a YouTube video.
And talk about you. And on the other hand, if you got one customer that's upset with you out there in the world, they may not even come back and tell you. So you better cherish that moment when they do come back and tell you that they're upset with you, because then you have an opportunity to fix it.
I want to come back before we go. I love your non-negotiable things, and this is all part of the customer service thing, folks. All part of the customer care is that good customer care is non-negotiable. It's not. I mean, it doesn't matter if you had a bad day. It doesn't matter if you have a headache. It doesn't matter, what else is going on. Brad, I actually know people who can't rise above their own feelings. They can't rise above what's going on in their own life.
Right.
You don't need those people to be in front of the customer.
No, you don't. And
interview people, make sure they're not like that. If you find that they are, move them away from the customer.
Well, great salespeople have to be chameleons, and they're actually showbiz personalities, and they are always up. They're always putting on a show. They're always on top of their game.
And no matter
what's happening in their personal life.
Exactly. No matter what's going on, you would never know that something was. And it's all about professionalism, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
And isn't that a non-negotiable thing we could talk about too, Brad? That's something that I think we should train our people to do. And I've talked about this in the past. Is introduce them to the concept of professionalism and help them achieve that, helping them aspire to being a professional.
Well, that's where the whole concept of non-negotiables came from in my head, is that even if they don't have the ability, then we force it on them by making it a non-negotiable standard and letting them know how important it is that these things be adhered to.
Well, and when we talk about customer care, we talk about what we're doing for somebody else. But acquiring and achieving professionalism, that's for us, isn't it?
It's for us, it's for them, it's for everybody.
I mean, it's a personal thing.
It really is.
And customer care, good customer care, can manifest from professionalism. So maybe that's the first thing.
I think good customer care is what causes the customer to believe that there's professionalism in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said we can't always have the best location, can't have the best advertising, can't have the best prices, can't have the best selection, but by God, we can always sell right.
Professionalism costs nothing, does it?
It doesn't cost
a
dime.
Just a little bit of caring about it. Hey, Brad, give us that website one more time.
IASTraining.com.
Thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Yes, thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Uh-huh. Brad Huskin, ladies and gentlemen, Huisken, IASTraining.com is the website. Check it out when you get a chance. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile, like a professional.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.